If you have your Bible, the book of Acts, I'll read two passages from the book of Acts, and then we'll read one from the book of James, if you'll find those places tonight. And I'd like for you to pray very earnestly that God would speak to our hearts tonight from the Word of God. Now, if you don't pray, I'd rather not even preach tonight, because I don't think much will get done unless God's people are in touch with the Lord. If you're in touch with Him and I'm in touch with Him, then there's something good's got to happen. Because you can't ever get in touch with God that something good doesn't happen. And so you pray very earnestly tonight that God would speak to us from the Word of God. The book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Now I want you to get that little word there. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Now if you'll turn over to the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse number 15. This is Paul and Barnabas who are trying to get people not to worship them. And verse number 15, they made this statement. They said, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you." I like that, don't you? We're men of like passions. Book of James, where I'll be basically speaking from, chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that the Holy Ghost of God would use us for a few minutes as we try to preach. Lord, if we could preach this as it's been put upon our heart, I believe, dear God, that it helped, I know me, and I believe it to help every one of us that wants to do the will of God. Yes, Lord. And if there's anything in this world that we want to do, it is the will of God. Yes. Lord, you bless now the reading of thy word, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name, for thou art worthy. Amen. Now, I want to take the word passion, and I want to preach on that. The scripture said that Elijah was a man of like passion. Now, I always had that word wrong. I always thought I knew what that word meant. I always thought that that word meant a vehement desire. But, you know, when I read over in the book of Acts chapter number 1, it said that Jesus, after his passion, showed himself in many ways after many infallible proofs. And the idea there was the word passion had to do with infirmities and sufferings. Jesus' passion was his suffering there. And then I get over here and I read that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. In other words, whatever Elijah went through, then I am going to go through the same things. There is no difference between God's children. And when I looked at that, he is a man of like passions as we are. And he prayed, and God closed the heavens up. And he prayed again. And God said, you look at Elijah, he was just like we are. I like that. You know why? Because we're always wanting to put saints way up here. We've got big preachers, little preachers. You ever seen the beat of that? And listen, if I know what God is speaking here, we're all alive. If you're saved, you're saved by the same grace of God. If you're going to heaven, you're going to the same heaven the rest of us are. If you serve God, you're going to serve God the way all of God's servants have served Him. We're people of like passions. Now, when I got to reading this, now listen very closely. I think about Elijah. I thought, could I be like Elijah? Well, my name's not Elijah, but my name's Noah. Amen. So I don't have to be like Elijah. But I'm a man of like passions of Elijah. And I look over here at Elijah. Elijah raised the widow's son. You remember that story, don't you? God used him. God used him in a mighty way to raise that widow's son. I turned on over there a little bit farther, and the Bible said in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 that Elijah obtained fire from heaven against the priest of Baal. And they were withstood that day, and God wrought a great victory through Elijah. I read on over there how that Elijah was fed by ravens. Now, we may not have had a blackbird fly down and feed us, but many of us preachers tonight have been fed by ravens. Just as miraculous as his raven. He was at a time when he had no food. I've been there when I didn't have food upon the table. I had to find that God fed me also. Just like Elijah, God took care of Noah Broughton. I read over there how that Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of one meal. God fed him, and for 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat another bite because God sustained him. I look over there in the book of 2 Kings chapter 1. He brought fire down from heaven and destroyed two companies of 50 when they were out there ridiculing the men of God and trying to make a mockery of God's people. God used Elijah just like he'll use us. I read there in 2 Kings chapter number 2. He passed over Jordan with dry feet. God parted the Jordan for him, and he walked aside and later saw the glory of God. I'm talking about Elijah, the great prophet of God. In the book of 2 Kings chapter number 2, he was snatched up into heaven in a fiery chariot, never had to die. He went home to be with God without facing death. Only one of two people in the entire Word of God that ever was able to do that. I look over in the book of Matthew chapter 17, verse number 3. The Bible said that Elijah appeared visibly and bodily on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there he saw the glory of God. And then here God comes and says, we're men of like passion with Elijah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He said Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. Whatever you are tonight, Elijah had the same passions that you and I have tonight. How about this one? Now, those are good things. Yeah. Come on, Father. men calling fire down from heaven, being fed by ravens, having power with God, appearing with the Lord Jesus. But over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 11, the Elijah that called a fire down from heaven, the Elijah that was fed by ravens, he went out there by the brook Cherith, and he was hungry just like we are sometimes. No different than we are. Now before I get through tonight, there won't anybody in here have an excuse for not serving God. He was a man of like passion as we are. Over in 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 3, he feared death and fled from Jezebel. I've had a few of them running spells myself. Amen. I've heard people say, I've never run, you're lying. A lot of times it's better to run and live to fight again. Running from Jezebel did not destroy Elijah. I've seen a lot of times when it would have been better for us to turn her back and walk away. He's a man just like we are. I read over there in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 4. He got so discouraged and disheartened and dismayed that he even had a prayer meeting before God and requested that God let him die. Amen. And then one day he had a pity party and said, I'm the only one doing anything for God. Y'all remember that? Lord, why don't you just go ahead and take me? I'm the only one that I know of. And that's usually how it is. That we know of. You say that we know of. Because we got a pretty good opinion of ourselves, you know. And so we think sometimes we're the only one. He said, I'm the only prophet that is still standing for God. And then on top of that, he said, he's just like me. Isn't that a blessing? That means Noah Broughton can be full of faults and failures and still be used of God. Now you know what we're doing tonight? How we're setting preachers upon these pedestals. And we're making appear that they don't have any problems. And we're making appear that we're up yonder on a standard higher than anybody else. And we don't have things before us like common ordinary people have. And I want to tell you, that's a lot of hell tonight. I'll tell you, preachers will toss and turn on beds just like anybody else will. And preachers will get disheartened just like anybody else will get heartened. And preachers sometimes have fears just like anybody else has. I remember old Paul when he was at Corinth. He said, I was with you 18 months in fear and trembling. You know what Paul is saying? I had some passions at work. I was going through some things. I was facing things. And here God said, Elijah was a man just like us tonight. Had the same passions we do. Now, I wrote this down. I wanted to make sure I got this right. Now, some say that the word passions means the outward sufferings and afflictions that you have. It could mean that. The word passions could mean the weaknesses of body and the inconveniences of this present life that you've got. That's your passion. That is what you face in life. And you know when we throw all these things up in the basket and shake them up, that's about what all of our life is about, isn't it? It's a life of struggles and heartaches and sorrows and pains and woes that face us until we get to that heavenly city where there will not be any more of those things. But until that day, we have to face those things and go on for God. It can mean some inward passion or trouble of the mind. He's a man of like passions as we are. It may be some moral infirmity or sin that he had. Just like we have. Hell, let's don't anybody in here tonight get to thinking that we're above sin. All right, don't anybody get to thinking that. We preachers have sin. You know, when a preacher doesn't believe God, that's sin. We could call it growing in God. No, that's sin. When a preacher don't step out by faith and he knows he ought to, that's sin. Because whatsoever's not of faith is sin. And we can have sin just like any other human being that's born of Adam's race. We can have those sins. But it don't mean that you can't serve God. We'd all be out of the race. And I learned this as young preacher. You better not let people put you up on a pedestal. You better keep them informed that you're just a sinner saved by the grace of God. We're subject to failures. We're subject to make mistakes. We're subject to run over here and hide in the cave. We're subject to get afraid of Jezebel. We're subject to be afraid of somebody that we may offend or hurt their feelings if we preach something. We're subject if we don't watch ourselves to hold back upon the gospel of Christ because of the fear of the face of man. We're subject to that. And you say, what does that mean? It means we're just like Elijah. We're like passions. We're like passions. Now, Paul and Barnabas in there in the 14th chapter said, we're men of like passions like you are. Don't worship us like gods. You know what he did there? He put a difference between the divine nature and the human nature. We're just like you. Me and Brother Lawrence, just like you. You let us die and our bodies are stinking 4 days too. We're just like every other human being. The only one that never saw corruption was our Lord Jesus Christ. He just like, we're just like each other. And so now, some of y'all are going to come up with this old excuse and say, well, I can't serve God, and I can't be faithful, and I can't do nothing for God, and God would never use me, and God would never let me do something great for you. Hey, friend, that is a lie of the devil tonight to let you use your infirmities to keep you from serving God. I read where Charles Spurgeon, the greatest Baptist preacher probably since Paul, that had severe bouts of depression. And sometimes he would go for weeks and could not pull himself out of it. And when he would get in one of those, he would run to the scripture and stay in the scripture till he got out of it. Isn't that a blessing? To know that Charles Spurgeon was like us. Isn't that good? Yeah, preachers, isn't it good to know that Paul got mad at Simon Peter? That's just like us. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to know that Simon Peter stepped out of the boat and started to walk on water, and then he got to looking around just like us, and he started sinking? Why do you think God put that in there? To try to tell you that Peter, look at that sorry, no good Peter. He put that in there to show you and me that we're just like Peter. We have the same problems that Peter had. We have the same difficulties that Peter had. We have the same lack of faith sometimes that Peter had. Sometimes we look around to see what's coming at us just like Peter did. Now, there's two or three things that go wrong when we get to looking at our life. We have a desire sometimes, and sometimes it comes out off a dirty looking in us. We sometimes look at a person and we kindly idolize them and canonize them. I didn't know Roman Catholics had a saint that they had set aside a day for to bless pets and animals. was up there at Cincinnati last week, and this Roman Catholic Church had over 1,000 out there to meet him. And this father was out there blessing cats and dogs and mice and snakes and you name it, rabbits, and he was sprinkling holy water upon them. I told preacher up there that it's holy revival for, I said, maybe you ought to do that. That seemed to go over. Because he had a bigger crowd for that than we had at revival. Sometimes revival don't seem to go over, does it? You know why? Because we're sometimes more interested in the stinking world than we are the world of the things of God. And they got a saint for that. They canonized him. They made a god out of him. And I want to tell you what, when you make a semi-god or a half-god out of anybody, friend, you have come to the wrong conclusion about that individual. And then sometimes you look at somebody and you see their faults and their sins and your failures, and you use that as an excuse for yours. Well, Noah got drunk. Our Lot committed incest. Amen. Our David committed adultery. And before we long, because we're not right with God, we'll use somebody that failed as an excuse for what we're doing wrong. Now, this is not an excuse to do wrong here. He's like passions. Now, I want to preach for a few minutes on what does he mean by that. What is your passion? Maybe I can describe passion before I get through here. Passion is what you weep over. That's passion. We're very passionate, aren't we? You've read that. In fact, I got the definition of it down here. Compassion is a suffering with another, a painful sympathy. It is pity, commiserating with somebody else. In other words, when we see somebody hurting, we hurt for them. Now, I want to tell you, friend, there's not a soul in this building that does not have a passion for something. Your passion would be what you weep over. Now, you tell me what you're able to weep over, and I'll tell you what kind of passion you have. Can you sit around and weep over a soap opera and not weep over Calvary? I've heard preachers, I won't mention his name because I don't want to offend any of you, but I heard a preacher 3 times preach the same message on a horse, and 3 times when he preached on that horse, people were sitting out there weeping and crying and bawling and snubbing and snuffing and wiping their noses and blowing their noses, wiping their eyes. And right before that man preached, a fella got up and preached on Calvary, and there was not a tear in the audience that night. I tell you one thing, I sure ain't going to weep over no horse or cat or dog and not be able to weep over a soul or the Savior or the cross of Calvary. That's what your passion is. And we've lost our passion. The right kind of passion, Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence, we're into sports, you know. Amen. We're in sports. We like sports. Thank God. I don't mind that. But I tell you what, I can see people weep over losing a ball game. I remember one of our girls lost a volleyball game one time, and I went outside, and I thought somebody died in the group. Ooh, well, just a bawling. And I said, what are you girls are weeping over? Really lost. I said, dry those eyes out and get up off of that and quit weeping over a stupid ball. I said, now, if you'll weep over a soul, I can understand you weeping over a ball, but until you're able to weep over the Savior and weep over a soul, I wouldn't weep over nothing else. That's our passion. Oh, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, wasn't he? Man, did he have a passion for Israel. How he suffered for Israel. How he was in a conflict of soul for Israel, because he knew that they were going to die unprepared to meet God. The summer is come and cold, he said. The harvest is past. And he said, we are not saved. Lamentations, he said, tears streamed down my eyes night and day for Israel. How could you weep over that one? That old black boy with earrings in his nose and earrings in his ear and hair, ponytail. Could you weep over somebody like that? Now this is what's dried up our churches. Our passion is not for the right things anymore. It's for this unworldly, ungodly stuff. And we can go overboard on that, but buddy, you let somebody just rinse us out, and it's this way everywhere. You let somebody plant a revival, and half the church members won't even show up.
That's the way it is.
You're right.
And you get to asking, well, where were you last night? Well, we had to go buy groceries.
Yeah.
Well, where were you last night? Well, we had a peewee game.
Yeah.
That's where their passion is.
Uh-oh.
Come on. Amen. Friend, we need a passion for the things of God. A passion is what you would weep over. Now, I'll go a little farther on that. Passion is what you're able to rejoice over. What causes you to rejoice? Huh? A lot of times, we're rejoicing over the wrong things. I see disciples, Brother Benny, running out here and saying, devils come out of him, and they'd come out of him. Run over here, Brother Jay, and said, you demons come out of him. And they'd rejoice over that. And they came back to Jesus and said, Jesus, guess what? We went out doing your work. And he said, even devils were subject to us. And Jesus said, don't rejoice, because devils are subject to you. But yea, rather rejoice that your names are in heaven. How many of you ever had a spell just thinking about going to heaven? Huh? Just rejoice over it. Man, just thinking about it. I mean, you get all beside yourself. You know what? You know what you're saying there? I've got passion inside of me. That's my passion tonight. I'll tell you what. The passion of Jesus was the old rugged cross. That was what Jesus lived. That was what Jesus walked. That was what Jesus taught. That's what Jesus looked for. That's what he set his face to. That's what he talked about more than anything else. You can't even hear him talk without talking about it. And you know, we don't rejoice over that much anymore, do we? You know what has to happen in the churches? Somebody has to get up about 70 years old, and their children all dead, and their husband's dead, and half the grandchildren are dead, and then they start rejoicing about heaven. We ought to get in the habit of rejoicing when we get saved. And then when her mama dies, we just shift gears. You understand? Hey man, when mom died, I just shifted gears. Thank God. I got a little bit more of her to talk about now. You understand? I got a little bit more to rejoice about. I never will forget, Brother Lawrence, you've gone through this, but I never will forget looking over at her when she drew the last breath and just closed her eyes and gone so peaceful. And we burst out into tears, and after the burst of tears were over for 4 or 5 minutes, I looked down at her and I thought, my, is she the happiest person in the world right now? Here we are carrying on, and mom's up yonder hill and walking on streets of gold and seeing her Savior and seeing her loved ones. That's passion for you. You can't keep going on unless you got some passion. You have to have some passion. Passion is what you rejoice about. The Bible said Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. What was that? Well, he looked down
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
And he saw old brother Jay here getting saved.
Yeah.
That's a joy that's set before him.
Yeah.
Brother Rochester, he saw you getting saved.
Yes.
Sister Sharon, he saw you getting saved. And when he looked up there and he thought, oh, the blood, the nails, the pierced hands, the side rim and the mockery, the blaspheming, the cursing, the darkness, being separated from God, all the shame and disgrace, I wonder if it's worth it all. And then he looked over and saw Brother Jay. And for the joy that was set before him, he'd say, Brother Benny, I'd do it all over again. I'd do it all over again. Jesus would do it all over again. Jesus did what he had to do. He did what was necessary to do. And he did it with a joy in his heart because he knew what it was accomplished. That was his passion. We don't have that in churches no more, do we? No joy in our services. A soul gets saved, and instead of running up there and slobbering all over, we're getting our coats on ready to go home because we don't have no passion for it. We're not even able to rejoice over it anymore. I mean, people that have been lifted up out of miry holes and clay. People that God drug out of sin and wickedness can't even rejoice anymore. How no passion. We've lost our passion. I remember when I got saved, every little old boy I played with on the ball field, I wanted to tell him next day. I wanted to run down there. In fact, I forgot my glove the next day. I got saved up at Old Auckland Baptist Church. And I tossed and turned all night long. Said, boy, can't wait to get on the ball field. Tell them boys what God did for me. Ran off, forgot my ball glove. And I told every one of them, hey, what got us over that?
Yeah.
We lost our passion.
Yes. You're right, brother. Right, brother.
Let's be honest tonight.
Yeah.
We lost our passion. Boy, I'm so glad tonight there's still joy in a sinner getting saved.
Yeah.
I still have joy when I'm able to preach about Jesus and the cross. I still have joy when I get to talking about that city that's built for the child of God. That's our passion tonight. And you know what? If you don't have something that motivates you, you're going to dry up and blow away as a Christian because there has to be something greater than you to motivate you. And if it's not eternal things, then friend, the world will dry you up. You have to have a passion for the things of God. A passion is what you hope for.
Yes!
That's included in the word passion. Yes, hallelujah. Why do you put a garden out? Because one day you're going to reap some fruit from it. Thank God. Why do we go out and sow seed? Because we live in hope that if we sow seed, there's something going to come up and we're going to be able to reap the benefits of it. Why do we preach the Word of God? You say, do you preach it that people may think, oh my, listen to that preacher, look at them, or look what they're doing. A lot of times we have the wrong motive. No, we preach the gospel because we believe the hope of heaven's in the gospel.
Amen.
And let me ask you something tonight. Let's ask preachers. Does it surprise us when a soul gets saved in our service?
Uh-oh.
I think that's the reason we don't have no more saved than we do. Because it always surprises us when we get up there and preach the gospel. Well, I never expected him to get saved. You know I'm telling you the truth. It comes as a surprise to us sometimes. In fact, we've written many people off down through the years that we thought, God never saved them. And Lord just had to prove us a big liar and save them in spite of us. I was preaching one time and I got up and gave the invitation, had a fellow there. I just knew he was going to get saved. I wasn't even interested in nobody else that morning. I just knew he was going to get saved. And I got up and gave the invitation, and I just looking back there just any minute for him to move. And that rascal didn't budge. That didn't affect him one bit that morning. And while I was waiting for him to come, a woman was standing over there for about 2 or 3 minutes weeping, wanting to be saved.
God help.
I wasn't expecting her to get saved.
Yeah.
Oh, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Passion is what we hope for. It's your hopes. What are your hopes tonight? Yeah. Now, hope in the Bible is not some shifting thing. Have y'all ever sung that old song? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now listen, you can jump on that and stand upon it, and it will never budge beneath you. I got a hope out yonder ahead of me.
Yes, sir.
And that keeps me going. You say, what is that hope? It's a blessed hope. It's a sure anchor of my soul. It's steadfast and sure. It'll hold when the storms are coming. It'll hold when the world is going to hell. The anchor will hold fast because the hope of it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is our passion. And he said, Elijah is just like us. Well, I have hope and belief that our nation can turn back to God. I ain't one of them doomsdayers. We've been in bad shape before. Now, you let God send a few more hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, we might have a whole nation from east to west, north and south fall under face before God. God sends enough of it. Well, he's got ways of putting squeeze on people. And you know what? When he puts the squeeze on people, the gospel becomes more. They become more attentive to the gospel when God puts a squeeze on it. You know, back in World War II, we had more people praying than we ever had because God put the squeeze on our nation. We had our boys getting killed. And we had mamas on their knees before God instead of down yonder in the bar room. We had daddies on their knees, but instead of down yonder in the bar room, and our nation got on its face before God and prayed because we believed that God was able. That's what hope is. We believe God's able. Hope is what you love. Passion, I mean, is what you love. Passion is what is the love of your heart. You know, men, Miss B back there, Brother Richardson, we love this mighty good over here, buddy. Me and Miss B back there have been married 33 years tomorrow. We're spending over here with you. But let me say something tonight. Passion is what you love. The things that you love, you're passionate about. That's the reason that little grand girl over there was so pretty. Amen, brother friend. Because he sure don't equal mine, though. Brother Jerry, I heard you say the same thing. You know, we could get in a fight just talking about our grandkids, can't we? So let's don't show pictures tonight. All right? But you know what? That's things that you love. Do you understand that? That's your passion. Is it some abnormal thing for a man to love his wife? No, that's a natural thing. Is it something abnormal for a parent to love their children? No, that is a natural thing.
Yes, sir.
I said we loved ours before we ever saw them. We didn't have to wait a little young as be born to love them. Loved them, not even seen them yet.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I got a verse on that about my Savior, whom having not seen, beloved. And though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. And friend, when you love somebody, that's passion. Man, We're just like Elijah. We're just like Elijah. Man, that, isn't that rubbing shoulders with somebody good? Phew. Passion is what you hate. There are some things I hate. I don't mind up getting up here and saying I hate the devil. And we act like we ought to wash our mouth out when we say that. You better hate him. You better not play with him like a snake. Because I'll tell you one thing, you'll feel his fangs upon you before you know what happened to you. You better hate him like you would the plague. We need to hate sin. Hallelujah. Did you know what? A passion, here's what passion would do. Brother Lawrence, you said something about this a while ago. But passion is such a wonderful and awesome word that it will let you hate the sin in Brother Clark or Brother Broughton and yet still love us. That's what passion's about. You can have both of them in you at the same time. Oh, we ought to hate the things of this world. We ought to hate whatever lowers and castigates our Savior. We ought to hate that. Whatever would defame His name, we ought to hate that with a passion. That's what it is. We're just like, oh, Elijah couldn't stand for somebody to talk about God. Well, you Baalites, you can't talk about our God like that. Let's go up here on Mount Carmel. I dare you talk about him like that anymore. Hey, man, that's passion there. And they got up there and he said, let's see which God is God. That's passion, isn't it? And friend, we have to have passion to serve God. Passion. I'm going to close on this. And this would be a good place to close. Passion is what you desire. It's what you desire. Oh, if we say, I desire revival, you'll have it. You say, I desire to see souls saved. You'll see them. I desire to be used of God. You'll be used. Because that's your passion. Now, if you're just saying that out of your lips, that's not passion. Passion comes out from the innermost. Have you ever read this verse, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the what? Desires of my heart. I used to tell this, my oldest daughter would get up and sing, whatever it takes for my will to break, then that's what I'd be willing to do. And she used to sing that and sing that and sing that and did a good job at it. And then one day she walked into the church with a little baby boy in her arms. And I said, Regina, would you get up here and sing that song, whatever it takes for my will to break? That's what I'll be willing to do. And so she got up that morning and started singing. And she got to that part that said, take the dearest thing to me, if that's what it must be. And she looked back there and saw that little one. And she started crying. She never had done that before. And she tried to sing that again, take the dearest thing to me. Is part of our passion. Oh, I'll be honest with you. I'm longing to see revival.
Yeah, oh God. Yeah, oh God.
I've been preaching for 30 years. Brother Lawrence, my time's getting away. I'm a longing my heart to see God move.
Yeah.
Be honest, folks, we ain't seen it in our lifetime. We ain't seen it in our lifetime. And you know why? Because we don't have the passion for it that it takes. And why is that? Friend, we're just like Elijah. Ain't no difference between him and us. His name was Elijah and yours may be Bill. That's the only difference. We serve the same God, have the same authority. Amen. Well, we got it all. In fact, we probably got more than he had. We've even got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But our passion's not what it ought to be. Friends, we need a passion tonight that just burns in us and consumes us. Listen, I wouldn't mind. Listen, I'm honest with you. These things don't mean nothing no more. But I'd be willing to toss and turn on my bed all night long to see souls saved and see revival come. That wouldn't mean nothing to me. I don't have to have as much sleep as you used to have anyway. You understand what I'm saying? But friend, we have to have a passion for it. What we love, what we hate, what we desire, what we long for. I'm talking about things that Elijah had, that God said that Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. Now tonight we need the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, friends, I'll guarantee you everybody in here agree with what I'm saying tonight. But you know, in our church services anymore, we nod our heads at everything. But boy, we don't have a passion for it. I can say we need a revival. We'll shake our heads, but we don't have a passion for it to come. We can say we have a passion, desire to see souls saved. We'll shake our heads, but we do not have the passion for it anymore. He's a man of like passions. Said to Jesus, after his passion, had a passion for you. Jesus had a passion for you. No one, that old song, who was it that wrote those songs? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He had a passion for me. Where's our passion at tonight? We can get so passionate about other things. And tonight, if somehow we could transfer that passion to spiritual things. Man, what a service. What a meeting. What a camp meeting. What a revival. We got 2 weeks revival scheduled. Brother Bob's supposed to be there, one of them. I don't know where they'll make it. You pray about that. But I want to tell you something. If we get a passion for it, whether Brother Bob shows up or not, we'll still have revival. But we have to have a passion for it. Amen. Friends, I want us to stand tonight.